The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1079. Eternal source of joys divine, to thee my soul aspires. Oh, could I say, the Lord is mine, 'tis all my soul desires. Hymn 1079.
Thank you. I read the solemn record of the crucifixion, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. Luke 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as one that perverteth the people. And behold, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, not yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison." Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hands upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, it was a man named Joseph, a counsellor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, the city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. May the Lord bless his holy word to us each, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, our God, we trust we can say, do grant us now thy spirit. Grant us a true spirit of prayer. May we come in this way, Lord. We know, as one put it in the same prayer, was appointed to convey the blessings God designed to give. Long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray they live. Help us, Lord, to come and beg of thee now. Oh, we are in a great need, Lord. We feel so insufficient for these things. We do beg we may prove thee favour. As others have, has gone before, we think of the apostles. Our sufficiency is of him. May we know it, prove it tonight. Lord, do come and presence thyself with us here. Who knoweth how our dear friend and brother has prayed before the service, and we trust others here, we hope, Lord, many here have been praying, begging for help in time of need. We do trust we have a desire, Lord, to worship thee, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forevermore. No, we beg for that enabling, Lord. Oh, we are much aware of that which thou, the Son of God, did state. Without me, ye can do nothing. No, we know it, Lord, felt it much and feel it now. Do come, Lord. Oh, come and be the master of assembly here, Lord. Oh, come in the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of truth. May the Holy Spirit take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. And Lord, do come, Lord. May it be in each one of us, Lord, that thou wouldst remember us. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. O Lord, and as that theme and word runs on, oh, may we be led into it and the favours of it this night. O Lord, do look in mercy upon us each. We are sinners gathered here, Lord. We feel the solemn reality that we are unworthy of the least of thy notice, Lord. But, oh, we come, we trust upon mercy's ground. Lord, we do beg that thou wilt look in mercy upon us each. Oh, we come in that way, pleading mercy through blood. I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. May we truly be in the sincerity of real felt need, Lord. May we come with our solemn confessions. May we have real repentance. Oh, may that deep, solemn feeling of godly sorrow be given to us each. Each of us who have professed thy name. Oh, yea, Lord, each of us who feel our need, may we have true confession. May we have real repentance. May godly sorrow work repentance in us, Lord. And, oh, may we have that repentance that needeth not to be repented of. We beg we may have no saving repentance. Nor we may have desire to forsake our sins, to never sin again. Lord, oh, may we have pure desires. Jesus gives us pure desires, wills to do what he requires. Do grant this favour, Lord, to each of us here. We pray, Lord, one for another. We would bear each other's burdens in prayer, in the family of God. In the Church of God, we would remember to bear up and carry our friends, especially those we know that are in need of it, in need of thee, in need of pleading for mercy, in need of grace to help in time of need. Bless the friends, Lord. May it be our heart's desire to desire one for another thy favour. May we flow together, Lord, to the goodness of the Lord. Oh, may it be as in the word, it may be for wheat and for wine and for the young of the flock and of the herd. Bless us here, Lord, that our souls may be as a watered garden. The little church here, Lord, thou hast increased it over the past few years. We bless thee for what thou hast done, Lord, where thou hast drawn by thy love thy sheep to follow thee. We pray for them each, Lord. We pray too, Lord, that thou wilt further build the church. Thou wilt grant that increase according to thy will, under thy blessing. Thou wilt bring others to come and testify of what the Lord has done for them, to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. Who knoweth that favour of thy granting thy people to feel holy joy and to bless thee and praise thee as they have the privilege to hear the testimonies of those who has been working in and dealing with, Lord. Oh, those that have been blessed, Lord, who are sadly still in a state, Lord, of neglectfulness, not heeding thy commands, Lord. We know and understand through the ways of our old nature that, Lord, we are often, sadly, not ready to praise thee as we should be. Oh, Lord, what a solemn sin it is of disobedience. Oh, may we be made truly obedient. Oh, may there be the bringing of that grateful tribute to thee. Oh, Lord, let us not go on in disobedience. Oh, do stir up thy people as they're living their lives, Lord, going on fast toward the end of their lives, each of us. Oh, Lord, we think of the theme If we're blessed to have faith to believe, we're of that favoured number, who are the Father's children. 'Tis not meet that we should slumber. Nothing should be left undone, especially those things of thy commands, Lord. Oh, do so effect with thy divine power such that our going on in this state, they may have made vows and have not paid them. Oh, may it be that the Holy Spirit will so give them to be struck with the solemnity of this. Oh, to make a vow and not pay the vow. Oh, Lord, do work. Do work in souls here, Lord. Go on to work in precious souls in this cause of truth. Could it please thee to bring others in from around in this area? Hast thou got any in Swavesey? Who knoweth, there are those many Bibles picked up and accepted. The love and the desire and exercise our friends have for the distribution of the Word of God, we pray they will bless it. There might be those so given to read and be affected under the truths in thy Word. Oh, are there any in Swavesey who collected the Word of God, the gift that their friends lovingly give, and Lord, with that exercise they carry, that they would bless the word to souls. Are there any that shall come and testify of what they have known under thy purpose and will and thy divine teaching? Oh, that thy word so may be blessed to them, and they be blessed and brought into the ways of grace. If it be thy will, then knoweth all thy dead elect. We know and believe, and we feel the confidence that, Lord, as thou hast stated it thyself, thou wilt call thy dead elect. Every one shall be called of thy dead elect. None of thy elect cannot be called. Lord, thou knowest how it is with the people who gather regularly, who may even feel in their natural minds the doctrine of sovereign election may be a hard doctrine to some, but do show them, break them down. Humble them, Lord. Give them to know that this is the only way they shall and can be saved. It is as thou hast set thy love upon thy church, thy people. And Lord, may that wonderful favour, seal and proof of election be granted. True election, known by calling. We pray, Lord, so call and bless. We believe thou wilt. We trust thee that thou wilt do it, Lord, for everyone thou hast set thy love upon. We know thou must do it. And so, Lord, we do pray thy work may appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Let thy work appear here, Lord, and in the causes of truth we love. Who knoweth in our itinerant exercise in the ministry, we go to somewhere around 40 chapels each year, places of worship. And Lord, them knoweth, one trust, one can humbly say, we love them all. Oh, we look for thy appearing, we watch and wait, Lord. Oh, do let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Lord, we pray thus that we may be witnesses of thy appearing, Lord. And we may bless thee, we may so worship thee in the way of thankfulness and praise for all the riches of thy grace, all the wonders of redeeming love. And Lord, lead us into these wonders tonight. Lead us into these wonderful things of thy favour. Oh, that we may see the good of thy chosen. Rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. We may glory with thine inheritance. Lord, do come us tonight and help us here so to consider thy word. May the Spirit lead us into thy word and teach us. Bless the dear young people, Lord, who knoweth how they have been led into study in the Sabbath school this afternoon. Do bless those things attended to. Bless them, Lord. Oh, do favour them, Lord. Who knoweth, Lord, it's harvest time now. We see some of the fields coming along have been harvested and the straw bale. Lord, soon it will be into wheat harvest. Who knoweth how it so quickly comes. Lord, as we have said here many years ago, oh, thou hast thy harvest. There were those here, Lord, who responded to our poor discourse, dear young souls, all those years back. And some of them are in the church here now. This is very humbling to remember and to acknowledge, Lord, here there is blessed dear souls here who were in the Sabbath school many years ago. May these young ones now so know thy favour in that way, thy working in them, dealing with them, teaching them. They may be blessed in due time. Oh, there may be those things they learn in the Sabbath school that they shall never forget. And Lord, we know thou canst by the Spirit bless a very young soul, any soul, according to thy will thou art able to bless. And according to thy will thou wilt do so. And so we wait upon thee, we watch and wait. Save and bless, Lord, teach. We beg thee, young souls, save them from this bewitching world that has to death 10,000 hurl. May they be aware of it as they, in their school days, witness how those that know not the things of the truth of the word live. Oh, may they, as they are led and given and brought up, to respect thy word and thy day. Help them to know the great favour of it in the reality of vital experience in thy time, Lord. Lord, bless the young. Provide for them. Help them they may seek a useful purpose in life. But above all, bless them in their souls and save them by thy grace. We beg according to thy will. We pray for afflicted friends, Lord. Though, as we acknowledge here, some have been in deep affliction, and there was wonderfully restored, life restored and sin forgiven. Lord, wonderfully thou didst appear for them. Lord, thou knowest we bless thee for thy hearing prayer and thy appearing and thy granting that recovery and that restoring, Lord. And wonderfully there's been that nevertheless afterward with some, may it more and more be witnessed that we are bettered by the crosses we have to carry in the way of thy dealing with us and blessing us. And in their old age and infirmity, some of us, Lord, may we bear fruit in old age. Oh, may the inward man be renewed day by day in thy dear aged people. And so, Lord, we may acknowledge too, even when it is, as we think of some of our friends who are in deep affliction, and some have sickness and some have sore, we pray for them, Lord, who has sanctified these pains and afflictions to their soul's good. We think of one and another who have much soreness in those things they have. We think of how it was with Hezekiah and others, Lord, in the word. But oh, do lead such into fellowship with thee, Lord, who to speak it through the apostle as a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We believe in that holy, sacred experience of it. The favour of it is fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. He will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so, Lord, do grant this to such. They may be so favoured in considering thee, as we well remember the word confirmed to us by our friend's prayer. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. We believe the apostle, when he came to acknowledge our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he'd been considering thee. He had a view by faith of thee, his Lord, thee in thy sufferings, Lord. O Lord, sanctify thy people. Sanctify us each by thy Spirit in these blessed ways, we beg thee, Lord. So we pray for all in affliction. We pray for those in sorrow, having lost loved ones, especially remembering the friends, the people and family, their friends in the West are tried. Oh, her dear sister there in the faith and their family, Lord. Comfort them still with the comfort of thy love and bless the sorrowing church. Lord, appear for them yet. Provide for them. Lord, hear our prayers for all those we know are in mourning. Lord, bless them. Who knoweth all that we think of and remember day by day. Of those of our friends walking the path of bereavement, bless them, Lord. Comfort them with the comfort of thy love. Hear our prayers for our country, Lord. Thou knowest, oh, how greatly we are in sadness, the state of our land and thy judgments upon us and upon the many nations of the world. And Lord, the great effect of the war in the East. Lord, how and so many dying and so many affected. And Lord, thy people there, we know in Odessa, there's those who, friends that we know and love, have contact with. And there are those friends who have also welcomed refugees from the area of the Ukraine. Oh Lord, where they've had the means, have the means, they've made means to provide for them. Oh, we pray, Lord, bless and help and appear for them in their trouble, Lord. Oh, thy people, bless them. And may it be that thy purpose to sanctify these solemn things to many, there may be many brought into real concern and need to pray and beg thee, and many be brought to be saved by thy grace in the face of these solemn things that have come upon the earth and are in this way, having to be witnessed in these days. Lord, do bring good out of these terrible things. We believe thou hast purpose to, according to thy will. Hear us, Lord, now for all these things. Oh, how we feel to come so short in prayer. Make up in giving where we fail to ask, Lord. Oh, we plead. Begging, pleading, the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known. To men deserving endless pains, he gave his only Son. Hymn 570.
Friends, what a wonderful theme that is, that hymn. I think of the theme in the word, many offences. The Lord blesses his people. They know, they feel their guilt of many offences, but his purpose is to bless them with justification of life. Oh, they deserve to die. And that means eternally not to be annihilated, but to suffer for sin. We all do deserve it. To suffer forever for our sins. But God's wonderful purpose of love and mercy, oh, it's to save his people from sin and death and hell and unto heaven. Let us come again to the word, friends, that we were trying to consider this morning in the 106th Psalm. Psalm 106, the verses named as text this morning, verses 4, 5 and 6. And the verse 6 especially, that we all must come to acknowledge this. We have sinned with our fathers. You know how we spoke before our reading this morning, that we should not just read this passage of the word and be thinking of those, how the people went before sin, but we have sinned. We have sinned and done wickedly. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. So the theme tonight, I hope we be helped. May God help us. Lord, by the Spirit, help us. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Remember me, O Lord. It must be, it will be, with everyone God has set his love upon. They will be brought to need to pray such a prayer as this. Remember me. Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. Friends, is it your prayer? Is it that you know and feel your need to pray like this? To beg of the Lord in this way? Oh, do you know the Lord? I think of the word. As we read of that word and the record of how the Lord called young Samuel and how he went to Eli to ask Eli what he called him for. But Eli, after those two, or was it three times, he perceived that the Lord had called the child. And you know, of course, Eli said to him, if you hear the call again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. But we know when he heard the call again, he did. Young Samuel did not actually say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He did not say completely the same words that Eli exhorted him to. He said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And some have felt, you see, he did not yet know the Lord in that way, that saving way. As it were, Eli had said to him, say, speak, Lord. But, oh, friends, with you and me, have we been brought to know the Lord, to know our need of him? Oh, we know Samuel had the favour. He learned a lot in his young days, and wonderfully he was that made to be that first prophet, really. Although we know there was prophecy in the Garden of Eden. But friends, you know, the reality of it, and for you young people, is this. Do you know the Lord? Oh, here it says, remember me, O Lord. Remember me. Oh, have you got such a need to pray to the Lord to remember you? Remember me. Have you got a personal case Have you got a personal need, a need to beg of the Lord for mercy, a need to plead with the Lord? Is the Lord giving you to know and feel your guilt as a sinner? Has the Lord convicted and convinced you of your sin, that you're a sinner? And sinners, really, we must acknowledge. Oh, we are, we will be shown, I believe. If God has a purpose to work in us and to save us, he'll show us the badness of our hearts, the wretchedness of our state and case. He will convince of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. Now, are you in the solemn understanding of it? Has God revealed to you what you are? Oh, one said, convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I fly, informed by the gospel, for such there is room. Are we really brought, friends, to feelingly be needy sinners? Oh, do you have to go to God as the psalmist does here? Remember me, O Lord. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. God will certainly wonderfully bear this favour unto his people who he loves, who he's chosen ere time began. His people, which he says of them, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Oh, what God beareth, thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. We do need this visit, friends. Is it earnest? Is it given us to be in earnest prayer? Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Oh, because we need salvation, we need to be saved. Oh, friends, you know it's been said many times, and I've stated it in preaching many times. We cannot, we will not be saved before we're lost. Has he brought you to feel the solemnity of your guilt as a sinner, and even to fear and tremble that you, maybe you solemnly feel you as among the lost? But you know, as I've said to you before, and it's a very sweet and blessed theme, that the Son of God came, and he did all. He came, like we sing, at the season of the Nativity, lost souls to recover, and form them afresh. Our wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh, took upon him human nature, took into indissoluble union with his divinity, human nature. He came in that miraculous way. Oh, he came here to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. Now, oh, this is what is here in this prayer, this desire, this felt need that the psalmist says, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest. And God does, he does do it, he does work it, he does bless souls in this way. Thou bearest unto thy people, he bears it in love and mercy, he grants it under his teaching, he favours precious souls, he brings them to know and feel their need, he favours them to know the way they alone can be saved. He reveals a precious Christ, the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. It's a favour of being brought by the gracious favour and teaching of the Spirit to believe in Jesus, to need salvation, to need to cry for mercy, mercy through blood. I make my plea, we quoted this morning, O God, be merciful to me. This is the favour, friends. Favour is God's wonderful remedy for sin. Oh, do you ponder it like this? Do you feel it deeply like this? Sin's within me, all about me, but the remedy is without us. You may say it with a friend or loved one. You may quote it in the Church of God. Sin's within us, all about us. But the remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. Do you see it by faith? Has God revealed this? This wonder of wonders, the wonders of redeeming love. Sin, the reality is sin's within us, friends, within me. It's all about us. But the remedy, what is it, friends? It's looking away from ourselves. You never find anything of comfort and help in yourself. Oh, you're brought, and God teaches his people, brings them to be weak as worms, one put it. In themselves as weak as worms. How can poor believers stand? They can't. They can't stand. They slip, they fall, they backslide. But oh, looking away from themselves. Out of self did Jesus lead. Praying to God, falling in us into sea. Guide us down to death and there banish all our guilt and fear. Oh, we need to be prepared, friends. We've got that great day of assize before us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We need to be prepared. I believe this is in the psalmist, his exercise. He knows he needs to be prepared for that great day. Oh, my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Wash me in the Saviour's blood. Take my sins away. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. And to go on as we may be helped, that I may see the good of thy chosen. Well, in the highest sense of this statement, friends, this prayer, it's Jesus Christ, the Father's first elect. Oh, we must acknowledge the Son of God as such. Oh, God, the Father, he's the Father's first elect, the good of thy chosen. Oh, you know, he's equal with the Father. Oh, the Trinity in unity. But think of it like that. Oh, it was God the Father's sovereign purpose that he, the Son of God, would come to this earth to save the church. Oh, to save all those of the election of grace, all those God set his love upon before the foundation of the world. But oh, it was profoundly God the Father's first and blessed, most wonderful choice, his Son to come. And of course there was perfect agreement in the Council of Jehovah. As in authority, the three blessed persons in the Godhead equal in authority and purpose. The good of thy chosen. But also the chosen objects of God's love, all his people. The good that God had ordained and appointed for them to know and experience. And every one will be brought to know and taste redeeming love. The good of thy chosen, the real good, the lasting good, the eternal good, the good of thy chosen. And of course, this had to be bought for the church. That I may see the good of thy chosen. Oh, that I may see the good of thy chosen. Friends, in the very wonder of it, it's seeing Jesus. I think of that which is recorded of him. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Have you seen Jesus by faith? Has he revealed himself to you? We may see, that I may see the good of thy chosen. And it's what we've been reading, friends. In the reading tonight, it's seeing your Saviour there on Calvary's cross. What was he doing there? What was it his most important vital purpose in what he was there for on the cross? Suffering. The punishment instead of the church. Suffering. That punishment in the way of substitution. My breaches of the law, his, and his obedience, mine. He suffered the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. And oh, friends, it's given, it's appointed to be given by God, the purpose of God, that his people should see the good and acknowledge it, that I may see the good of thy chosen. See with the eye of faith. See your Lord. See your Lord suffering in your place. See him, heaven's brightest glory, sunk in shame. He's suffering in that way for your sins and mine. Oh, bearing all the wrathful anger that God the Father laid on him. We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, is it your exercise? Is it your prayer? That I may see the good of thy chosen. I may see. Oh, it's a prayer. It's your exercise. It's your need. It's the way the Spirit leads you. You need Jesus. You need to know that he sacrificed himself for you. You need to know he bore that wrath of God, suffered in your own place instead. You need to know it was for you. You need to know, as he suffered and poured out his holy heart's blood, it was for the atonement of the church. You need to know it was for you. I hope the Lord blessed me with this. Many years ago, bless me to know and taste redeeming love. My heart's desire is, I feel full with desire for every one of you, if it be God's will, that he would bless you to know and taste redeeming love. You may come to the cross by faith and see the good of this wonderful chosen one, the Father's first elect, and the wonderful way it applies to the church, the people of God, the chosen objects of God's love, must all know, must each and every one of them know their interest in the Saviour's blood. And God will bless them to know their pardon signed and peace with God, that I may see, and it's seeing by faith, friends. God gives the eye of faith to his people, so that they are favoured to see their Lord, to see him. In some of our hymns, I think it's in two of our hymns where it comes in, some dear friends who we've known and loved in the Church of God have had the blessing. They've had a view by faith of the Lord on the cross, suffering in their place, and the word in the hymn writer, in writer's language, I think it's in two hymns. Hear the blessed Spirit say, all this was done for you. Oh, have you had such a favour? Do you need it? Are you seeking for it? Are you praying to God like the psalmist? Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. And in this way that I may know and be blessed, that I may see the good of thy chosen. Oh, the good of thy chosen. The sufferings of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the holy blood of Christ shed. Christ has full atonement made. It's a lovely theme in the hymn. All God's people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven. Peace is made twixt man and God. To see it and know it by faith, friends, to personally know and experience these wonders of redeeming love, oh, I may see the good of thy chosen. And of course, it is such a sure and blessed favour. God's chosen his people, chosen them ere time began, and he deals with them and teaches them, he works in them like Paul writes to the Philippians, to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he blesses them to so be in this exercise and be in prayer and seeking the Lord and seeking to know and taste the wonderful redeeming love of Christ. No, seeking how. The application by faith, the precious blood of Christ. Oh, that favour which God does have purpose to grant to his people, to bless them, to favour them, to assure them of their part in the Redeemer's blood. They'll pray for it, or assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. And God certainly, surely has a purpose to assure them. Friends, do you know assurance? Do you want assurance? Do you really know and feel your need of assurance that God would assure you of your part in the Redeemer's blood? I mean, is it given you to know this exercise is such an important, the all-important exercise? Nothing is more important, friends, than this, needing salvation. Nothing is more important than inquiring regarding thy own state and standing. Oh, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. You need assurance, friends. We're fast hastening on toward the grave, and after death, the judgment. We need assurance, I hope. And I don't want to make it a wrong boast, friends, but I hope I do live with some measure of assurance. We have many changes. We are very prone to wander and to leave the God we love. But I do hope I can give witness of it, of some blessed measure of assurance of my part in the Redeemer's blood. Let me say in love and faithfulness to every one of you, you need this. You need assurance. You know, we're not secure unless we know something of some measure of assurance of our part in the Redeemer's blood. Are we earnestly seeking for this? Rather, can I put it solemnly, pointedly, but I hope it is in love I say it. Are you more concerned about other things? Let me warn you, it's a very solemn thing if you're more concerned about other things, natural things, than the things related to your soul's need of salvation. You might be thinking, and I want to bring a point in here, it's very important. You know where we've read the solemn record of the crucifixion. And you know how within that context, there is the record of those two crucified, one on the right hand and one on the left. And we know one of those solemn characters railed upon Christ in a way not having any real understanding. And he said, if there be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other man was by the Lord so brought to be a gracious character. And he said, dost not thou fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And what did he then say? What did he speak in prayer to the Son of God? Same as what we have here, really. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But let me be careful and clear in this. Don't any of you young souls think, or older ones even too, that you can leave these things till the 11th hour. Death may come very quickly, very suddenly. You know, I'm a witness of this. And I must warn, you know, the great importance is to be prepared. And you need to seek the Lord now. You need to seek him, to know that your Lord and Saviour did come for you and suffer for you and has redeemed you. You don't know how soon death will come. People die very suddenly with illness. People die very suddenly in so-called accidents. We know they're not actually, as in the will of God, accidents. Things are appointed. And the aeronautical of death for every one of us is appointed. We know not when it will come. God knows. And if we are his people, surely he will exercise us to seek to be prepared. Prepare me, gracious God. That will be your prayer. To stand before thy face. And under the teaching of the Spirit, you will have some understanding. Thy Spirit must the work perform. For it is all of grace. And the way of God, as God reveals, he teaches, he gives his people to know that way of salvation, the only way of salvation. In Christ's obedience, clothe and wash me in his blood. There's no other way, friends. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus only. What he has done, his salvation. Oh, Jesus is our great salvation. He is. And so as we consider these words, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. What is this gladness? This rejoicing. This which will be as God grants his people to be in joy and peace in believing. The favour of having faith to believe. The favour of the Holy Spirit testifying of Christ. The favour of being brought to truly know and taste redeeming love. To feed upon a precious Christ. To so know and be blessed with the wonderful the remedy for sin applied to you. The remedy is without us, friends. We must see it in the Saviour's blood. And God's purpose is to make application to his people. If you are one of his people, surely it will be what you need to have the blood applied. Need the seal of the Spirit, the seal of and the blessing of love divine, so granted you to know and experience it, and to feed upon a precious Christ. Rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. No, we have to know grief, friends. We have to know godly sorrow. We have to be made mourners over our sins and after Christ. But there is such a wonderful thing to be experienced, the gladness of God's nation, God's people, God's kingdom. Rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. Paul, of course, acknowledges it in his epistle to the Philippians. He acknowledges there very clearly, he says, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Think of the first part of the statement. We are the circumcision, being circumcised in heart. Know that painfulness, the guilt of sin, under conviction, and the Lord showing us our sins in a solemn way, and we feel the pain and guilt of sin. That's the circumcision of the heart. And that which will be, especially as we are raised to a hope and Christ is revealed and formed in our hearts the hope of glory, we'll feel that humbling, that tenderness. Circumcision is, oh, there's the tenderness, there's the humbling, there's the work and operation of the Spirit to make us feel so much our guilt and our wretchedness and our hell-deserving state. But oh, then Christ revealed, made to his people so precious and so needful. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. And as we know, have and hold him as so precious, so wonderful, so adorable to the church, altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000. And so we may be able, as God blesses, to say like the Spirit, this is my beloved, this is my friend. Oh, to testify one to another, to feel the wonder of it, the favour of it, the preciousness of Christ, the wonders of redeeming love known and felt, the application of the blood of Christ by faith to God's people's hearts and consciences. Rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. What wonderful gladness. Life restored and sin forgiven, glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. This is the rejoicing. This is the favour the people of God know and extol their Lord in that way. Lift him high, praise him. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. And as we have it further, that I may glory with thine inheritance. O God's people, his inheritance, according to his sovereign choice, according to his sovereign purposes, thine inheritance. Oh, and it is that God has stated, it is so clear in the word. He's formed a people for himself. They shall show forth my praise. How do you stand in that, friends? They shall show forth my praise. As that which God has effected in you, won your affection, bound yourself fast. Is Christ made so wonderfully to you, the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000? Is he truly that one upon whom your hopes of heaven depend? The work and operation of the Spirit is for this. So make Christ so precious. So make him to be as that one and only one you are blessed to know and love. Oh, to love in that way, that wonderful way. Of course, we are blessed to have our loved ones and our relationships in family ties and in marriage and so on. And these things are blessed. And we know when marriage is entered into, as we witnessed recently with a young couple, and we hope it is truly so concerning them. Oh, it says Christ loved the church, gave himself for the church. But oh, the highest thing is that what we just quoted, as Christ loved the church, he has, he does. He loves the church, he loves his people. He loves his people. Loved them, gave himself for them. Oh, suffered in their place, redeemed the church. Oh, how precious our Saviour is. And the rejoicing in the gladness of thy nation. God's nation, God's church, God's family, and glory with thine inheritance. And it's not that we should gaze on glory in a way to excite ourselves. The devil would promote that. But it's the glories of Emmanuel, which are so wonderful to the church. Emmanuel, God with us, God's people, blessed to know their Lord, have his presence, to walk and talk with him, even day by day, to live upon his merits, too. And friends, it does include this, and it should include this, obey his voice, and all his will esteem to follow him. In him live, upon him cast our care, acknowledging he saves from death, destruction and despair. Friends, that I may glory with thine inheritance, I may glory. And it's glorying to render praise to God, not glorying in self, not glorying in anything else but Christ, but God, God's love and mercy, God's loving kindness. Glory with thine inheritance. God's inheritance, the Lord's portion are his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And look what it stated of him, how he found him, led him about and instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. He does everything for the church. He does everything for his people, his inheritance, and to have them for God's eternal praise. And all his people too. I think of the words, dear servant of God, who preached from this pulpit many years ago, and you loved him, I know. And he used to say in the concluding of his prayer, and I feel it and desire it, I hope I can say, truly so, may thy living family enjoy salvation full and free. This is the glory, the enjoying salvation, truly so, blessedly so, full and free, free grace to every heaven-born soul. The wonderful thing is, and like a late dear friend who was deacon of several courses as he moved about, and at one of our special services, the ministry was much upon the wonderful saving grace of God and the gospel of the grace of God. And when we come outside after the afternoon service, I've told you before, it will bear repeating, the dear man, he was in tears standing outside of our chapel. I went to him. He put his hand out and he said to me, what makes the gospel so precious to me? It holds forth salvation so perfectly free. Glorying with God's inheritance. Glorying in the Lord. Oh, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. And he's praised and honoured and glorified by the church. The beginning of it is begun here on earth, and the song in heaven will be forever unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That I may here in time, while we're still in the time state, glory with thine inheritance, but in eternal glory we may glory with God's inheritance forevermore in heaven. Oh, the prospect of heaven and home, of heaven and my journey's end in view, and realms of endless day, that I may glory with thine inheritance. And as we come to the amen, friends, we must make clear it will be all of grace, nothing of man, nothing of man's merit, all of grace. Sovereign grace, or sin abounding, ransom soul, the tiding swell. Tis a deep that knows no founding, who his length and breadth can tell. Ransom mortals, joined as well, the sacred soul. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rose is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 208. Jesus, lover of thy nation, saviour of thy people free, visit us with thy salvation, let us, Lord, thy glory see. O revive us, that we may rejoice in thee. Hymn 208.
be so, help us each. Lead us on, Lord. Lead us in the way everlasting. Do forgive, dear Lord, anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our services. Own and bless thy word, Lord. Grant meditation on it. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen.